Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are in the house of God once again. I actually was gone last week for both services, so it felt like I was gone for a long time, but it was just a week, amen? But we are back, and I'm going to do something I don't traditionally do. My dad always says this, I don't really preach traditional messages on certain things, but today we're going to talk about mothers, amen, as we celebrate Mother's Day. Mother's Day is just one day for some reason, for some people, right? But we know that Mother's Day, without our mothers, we would not be here, and I would be remiss if I did not honor my mother, who taught me a whole bunch of things, the drive that she gave me, the talking when other people were preaching types. I'm just playing. Hallelujah. I just thank God for my mom. It's funny, as I coach the girls, I'm always teaching certain girls certain moves my mom taught me. And I'm like, hey, my mom did this. And there's this one girl, actually one of the kids that I grew up with, Brandon Stowers, is her niece. It's his niece. And she's a baller. Her name is, I won't say it just because we're doing a podcast, but she's a baller. She played in the game, went up, did a nice little no-look pass to somebody. I mean, she's like 11, and she's killing. So I was like, you got to learn this move because she got all the other moves. So she was trying to learn that. But I just remember the stuff that my mom taught me and even is still teaching me on the piano and all the different things that I learned about music. My mom is responsible for that. But my mom is also responsible for, along with my dad, making sure that we knew God, had a strong prayer life, and had a strong understanding of God's word. So I thank God for my mother. And, we want to honor mothers that are here in spirit, the ones that are also helping bring us up. Some people may not have had kids, but they have a spirit of a mother. And we're going to talk about that today. Is that all right? All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this day. God, as we get ready to honor our mothers, dear God, we want you to be pleased, first of all, with them, oh God. I pray to God that any mother that feels that they are not good enough, God, that you would give them peace. Dear God, that they would know, dear God, that they are blessed because of the children that they have. Even though their children may be in certain places, we just pray to God that you would honor and we would honor them today as we share this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I woke up this morning with my mind. Somebody said, stay on Jesus. Amen. One thing I do, I always tell people I wake up, the first thing I try to do is open up the word of God. And in my devotional this week, or today, actually, there was a scripture, a passage about a mother in the Bible. And I wanted to highlight this because as soon as that happened, it kind of jumped out to me. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you read certain passages of the Word of God, while you're preparing for your message, it's just like, man, that stood out to me. So we're going to highlight this, and we're going to talk about two things that a biblical mother will do. You can be a biblical mother. You can be doing these things, but also you should be doing these things. So let's say sometimes we feel like, what can I do as a mother? And I know we got some brothers in the place today. This is not just about moms. This is really a spiritual parenting tips. These are two tips that you can take with you. So just because you're not a mom, I don't want you to turn this off and go on and do something else. But there's two things that I really saw that we're going to talk about today. And one of them is interceding for your children. Somebody say interceding for your children. What is interceding? Interceding is praying, okay? Praying that God would reveal himself to them, that God would show them who they are, and that God would even show you what their gifts are. That's something that I pray, and I got five kids to intercede for. Amen? And I want them to know who God is. So my prayer is, God, let them know who you are at a young age. Let them be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let them use their gifts and their talents solely for your kingdom. Amen? These are things that I pray for them. And I say, God, let them be wise. Let them be great in sports and everything like that. But number one, let them know who you are. It's very important that we begin to pray for our children. And then also pray that, God, you show us their gifts. Show me what their giftings are. My daughter, Markayla, loves arts and crafts. Anything artsy, she's into it. And sometimes too much. Right, Bob? She did something at her house with the slime. I can't get the slime, man. Play-Doh and slime. Those are two things that if we, as a parent, if we can just obliterate those things, we will be great. But she loves arts and crafts. Anything artsy, she loves it. Keith, little Marquise, he loves to build things. He loves to fix things. If I have to fix something in the house, change batteries, and it requires a screwdriver, I let Marquise do it because that's what he wants to do. Now, you know, he loves to do that stuff. Anytime, I remember even when he was young, he'd be like, Dad, can I help? I want to do it. I'm like, okay, man, sure, come on. And then he started seeing his Uncle Michael work on cars, and, you know, that was the end of it for little Keith. But we need to be interceding for our children, praying that God would lead us as parents to show them who they are in God. If you intercede for your kids, you are doing one of the best things that you can do. Okay? Praying over your child is very important. Prayer is one of those things that if you actually look at the armor of God, there's only two weapons, and that's the word of God and prayer. So it is our job to pray over our children because the enemy is coming to seek and devour our children. Amen? I've been watching African's deadliest animals, predators, all kind of stuff. And one thing that you notice about the predators, they go for the weak ones. They go for the smaller ones. And if those parents, I was watching in the story, the lions were trying to get one of the wild bulls over there, and the wild bulls over there, they got horns and everything like that. And they were trying to get one of the kids' children. And or one of those wild bulls' children, kids, I don't know what you call it, calves, right? They're wildebeest. But what began to happen is the parents would put them in the middle of them, and they would cause a circle, and the lions don't want nothing to do with the wildebeest when they're charging them, right? So what I saw is they were protecting their children. Now, if they didn't protect the children, the little wildebeest or the little animals would be attacked easily, and there's nothing that they can do because there was no protection. What am I saying? The enemy is seeking to devour those that are weak and vulnerable. All right? This doesn't mean those that don't go to the gym and, you know, pump a little iron, you know, come with a little yokes. No, he's not talking about that. Spiritually, there are people that are weak that the enemy will have a feast on when he is attacking them. So it is our job that we intercede for our children, amen, that we protect them as much as we can, and in our prayers, we know we put them in God's hands, amen. I heard some of the old church folks say, don't pray and worry. I heard Jay Moss say it. Don't pray and worry. See, some of us, we pray about our children, but then we also worry about them. And that doesn't help. Okay? You either got to believe your prayer or you have to leave your prayer and worry. You can't be in the middle of both. That's a double-minded man, as the Word of God says. Somebody that is unstable in all he thinks. Right? Even he prays, he's unstable. And unfortunately, we have many people that pray and they're unstable. Have you ever been around somebody that pray and say, God, hopefully you can, God, I hope that, like, if you're able, right? First of all, he's God. He's able to do all things, right? So we have to have a true understanding of who God is in order to intercede properly for our children, amen? Now, I'm going to go to this passage, the first passage of the day, and it's in Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Now, this is one of the, it's a very short passage, only six verses, but there's a lot in this, okay? Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And this is somebody, as we're going to see, this is not a Jew. This is a Gentile, right? We actually see Jesus clearly state that he did not come for the Gentiles at that time. Somebody say at that time. Okay, because that's very important, all right? And he actually says that, but let's go here. It says, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. It's funny. Jesus tried to get away, and sometimes that's a word, get away. Anyway, verse 25 says, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. Somebody say a Greek. She was not a Jew. It says a Syro-Phoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She kept asking. Okay, so this is something about interceding. You have to keep doing it. All right? She kept asking God, Clint, and this, check this out. This is somebody, this kid doesn't know who God is. This kid is possessed by a demon at this moment. But her intercessory prayer, and how can we say it's intercessory prayer? Because she's talking to Jesus. When you talk to God, you are praying, okay? Now, when Jesus was on the earth, when you were talking to him then you were praying. Got it? So she is praying, interceding continually, God, set my daughter free. There's something that we can learn about this continual and persistent prayer. God answers. Continual and persistent prayer, God will answer. Okay? Some of us, we pray one time and expect God to do it, and we don't see the results instantly. And then what begins to happen is we begin to worry. Tell your neighbor real quick, don't worry about it. God's got it. That's another song by J. Moss. Dang, I got a lot of J. Moss songs in my head today. Right? But don't worry about it. Know that God has it under control. But another way that you can say, show that you're not worried is still come to God, who is in control of all things, and say, God, you are able. Right? You can start praying, dear God, you are able to do any and all things. And I pray that you begin to touch my child's heart right now. All right? I pray that you would open their eyes so that they can see who you are. Right? When you begin to pray like that, and then you come back again and say, God, I know you're going to do it. And I feel something's beginning to happen, because I'm going to continue to pray and expect God to move in my child's life. This is what intercessory prayer looks like for a mother or a father or parents. Amen? So she kept on asking him, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. All right, now somebody might be saying, what in the world is Jesus talking about? It is not right for the children's bread to be thrown to the dogs. What Jesus is saying is, first of all, if you weren't a Jew, you were actually considered a dog, right? Not the barking dogs, right? But you were considered a dog because you did not apply or follow the rules that the Jews had, okay? It's interesting, not only do the Jews have people like this, unfortunately, society continues to have people that they treat just like this, okay? The Egyptians, When you read the story of Joseph, it said that he could not eat with his brothers because it would have been an abomination for an Egyptian to eat with Jews. Somebody say an abomination. What's that mean? That means one of the most, it's like at the top of the list. It's an abomination. You can't do it. Not only that, they would not have anything to do with shepherds. And guess what? The Jews, that's all they did. Jacob's kids were all shepherds. So they had to go to a certain part of the land. But we see, even today, certain races and nationalities are treated differently. And it's unfortunate. But Jesus said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now let's catch something good in this. As a parent, it is your job to take care of your children first. You can't go. There's been times where, I don't know about you. Sometimes as a parent, you struggle with finances, right? And I remember there's a few times where we barely got enough money to get my kids food, but somebody on the corner asking for some money. And I don't do this out of disrespect, but I just like, I can't do it right now. There's times where I can, but at this moment I cannot because I have an obligation to make sure my children are eating. Okay? What Jesus is doing is saying the same thing. He's trying to make sure the children of Israel, his children, the ones that he separated unto himself, are filled at this moment. Okay? So he's using all the gifts, all the things that God enabled him to do, or him himself was enabled to do, to help bring the children of Israel out of darkness and recognize who he was as their true Messiah and worship God and him alone. Okay? So when we see this, let's not just look at, oh, he's calling her a dog. His responsibility is to get the children of Israel straight. Okay? That was his responsibility while he was on earth. So when he calls this lady a dog, he's not shunning her. He's letting her know the order. Okay? There's an order. But she's persistent. Somebody say persistent.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
All right. And she says, and she answered him and said to him, "Yes, Lord, I agree with you. I understand your order." That's what she's saying. And then she says, "Yet even the little dogs," somebody say the little dogs. She's talking about herself in this sense because she's understanding, hey, okay, I understand the children are there, but I'm a little dog and I'm just trying to get a nibble of something right now. She says, "Even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Okay? So the children of Israel, if I'm around them enough, I'm going to get something from them. They might drop it along the way, but I'm going to get it because I'm around them. That's what she says. And Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Okay, so what we see here is a mother coming to Jesus in need of Jesus to move in her child's life. So she intercedes. And even though it looks like the first answer was no, she continued to keep going on. See, I'm going to say something about that. Some of you felt like God is telling you no, but if you keep on praying and keep on interceding, even though that door was closed, guess what? God has a better door that he's getting ready to open. So just because it looks like no, keep on interceding. Because God is a good God. Oh, yes, he is. Well, you start shouting, huh? Right? He's a good God. He's a just God. And not only that, he rewards us for things we don't deserve. Right? So when we are praying, even though, catch this, even as parents, sometimes the things our children are involved in, it's really our faults. Because we didn't shield them from certain things. Or we didn't teach them early enough. Or we just made mistakes in our own life. And unfortunately, there's generational things that happen. Right? So, we still pray. We still pray. Say, God, remove that. I didn't mean you guys to say it, but I'm saying it there. That's all right. When we pray, that's what we pray. God, remove generational curses. Remove anything generational that is not from your spirit. These are prayers that you begin to pray over your children as you intercede so that they can walk in become the children of God. Amen? Now, the great thing about Jesus is his ministry was for the children of Israel, but what he began to do is he let his last commission to the people, his disciples, which was called the Great Commission, was to go all throughout the earth, baptizing all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And not only that, he sent Paul after a while and said, Paul, you go strictly to the Gentiles. Get them straight. Let them know who I am. So now we all are his children, and we all can eat at his table. Amen? Somebody say, intercede. Hallelujah. Another passage that right after I read this that came to my spirit was Ruth. In the book of Ruth, there's only four chapters. You guys can read that chapter. But just to kind of highlight some of the things that happened, Ruth was married to Naomi's son. It was her and another girl that was married to her two sons. They both died. And then Naomi was going back to the land that she was at. And she told them, hey, you know, in the way that they did it, if the sons died, usually the next son would marry them. And she did not have any kids. And she's like, hey, look, I mean, if I had a kid now, I mean, you got to wait at least, I don't know what the earliest he could get married was, but let's just say 15 years. And you you might not be able to have children by then. So go to your people, right? Just go back home. Go back home because woe is me. This is what Naomi says. But check this out. One thing I really see, especially with Ruth, she answered and said, no, I'm not going to go with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to allow your God to be my God and your people to be my people. Amen? Now, there's something in that. Somehow, Naomi was able to impact Ruth to such a degree that she says, I want your God. Amen? We're talking about a mother-in-law. Now, first of all, mother-in-laws, sometimes they have a bad rap. Right, especially if you watch, we watch a lot of old movies. The mother-in-law is like always the one that's nagging the husband, right? Usually when it's the mother-in-law of the man, he's never doing good enough. He might have a good job. Why can't that man bring home steak? I'm tired of chicken, right? And the mother-in-laws is always just nagging him. But in this sense, the mother-in-law blessed her to the point where she says, I'm not going to leave you even if I don't get married again. I'm going to be with you. So I'm going to talk about this in the book of Ruth. One of the things that I want to point out to in this book is counseling. Okay? A good mother will counsel her children in a good way. A good parent will counsel their children in the right way, okay? Now, I was at the park today, and there's a lot of mothers at the park, and a lot of mothers teach their children a lot of different things. One mother was on the phone today just cussing up the storm and talking about, that's why I don't want to be around da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. I was walking into to coach my girls the other day, and another mom's just on the phone in front of her kids talking about the other child's mother right in front of the mom, you know, the kid. And it's just like, man, look at what you are training up these kids to become. But Naomi trained Ruth in such a way where she says, I just want to stay with you. I just want to be with you. We're going to go to chapter 3, and I'm going to read this chapter. We're going to highlight that, and we'll be done for today. It says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Okay, so what's going on here? First of all, this is once Ruth gets back to Naomi's family's land. They are poor. Somebody say poor. They need to eat something. So she sends, Naomi says, hey, go out here. Sometimes they allow people that are in a bad place to be able to take some wheat here and be able to eat. So go here. And come to find out, somebody say, come to find out. They were in Naomi's next of kin, and he was blessing Ruth. And not only was he blessing her, he was giving her double portions. She was coming home, and Naomi's like, yo, where'd you get that? I mean, who gave you that? Like, what you doing? And she said, it's Boaz. He actually just been hooking me up. He's been like, hey, take care of her. So then Naomi puts her on game, right? And tells her what she must do, because she is still trying to get Naomi a husband, all right? And she knows the rules and regulations of this thing, all right? All right, verse 6 says, so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Now, when we're talking about counsel, that's very important. I don't know about you, but if you ever tried to tell a kid something to do and they don't listen to you, that's because, for one, they don't respect your opinion, right? Especially as they get older, they think they know better. Mom told me to do that, but she's crazy. I'm about to go do it this my way. Nope, that's not what Naomi says, or that's not what Ruth said to Naomi. She said, I'm going to do it. And it actually says that she did everything that she was told. Somebody say counsel. Wise counsel. Verse 7 says, and after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there, a woman was lying at his feet. And said, it's funny because he's like, whoa, what this? He probably thought it was a rat or something, right? And he's like, oh, my goodness, a woman lying at his feet. How did that happen? And he said, who are you? Somebody said, who are you? So she said, she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So basically, she's basically saying, you are the first one that is able to marry me, okay? Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have, now he found a wife, right? So he's blessed. Have you guys ever seen that YouTube video where the guy get married? And he's like, oh, he's about to get married, right? He's just getting hit with the Spirit, right? So this is kind of what's going on right here. Mom, you haven't seen that? We got to show her that. All right, you seen it, Tamron? No, you haven't seen it either? Okay, it's hilarious. Anyway, so he's like, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, let me say something about that. One thing that we can see about Ruth is she had the freedom to do whatever she wanted to do. She did not have to really follow these customs because she was not a child of Israel. Okay? So she could have been like, man, I'm about the first person I see, I'm trying to marry. Right? But because she honored Naomi, she honored her people, and she honored God. And it says in verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. That actually speaks volumes too, right? Because remember, this woman didn't come from Israel. She didn't have the same laws and regulations. But because she allowed God to be her God, it changed her life. Now she was a virtuous woman. Verse 12 says, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also, he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. She had all of this barley. So she leaves again with more than what she had. This guy is, Boaz is continuing to bless her because she listened to the counsel of her mother-in-law or her mother, right? This is important. All right, so it says, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he had concluded the matter this day. So what we see, and, you know, I'll leave it as a cliffhanger. You can go read Ruth chapter 4 and find out what happens in this story, but because she was obedient to the counseling of her parents, God blessed her. Okay? So we talked about 2 things today that a mother could do, right, Sister Jane? We talked about a mother interceding and a mother giving wise counsel to and for her children. These things are 2 things that we see about mothers in the Bible that can help mothers today. Honor God and be a mom that makes a difference. These are the things that can make parents make a difference in their children's life when they intercede and give great counsel. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do part 2 because next week somebody else is preaching, but I just wanted to highlight some things that, as I was reading the word, even today, God showed me about mothers. And what we could do is pray that our mothers lead us, guide us, and direct us. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.